The Labyrinth. I'm in the labyrinth again. My nibbed nose snuffling down dead-end lanes, feigning intentions of finding, led astray by a whiff of old musk to a rusty-bedded cul-de-sac of nails, to a window overlooking misty maybes, to a play of hunt the thimble or thumb the thesaurus. Dictionary tricks, too, pull me up short. I try each time to pick my way back to where I turned wrongly, to sniff afresh for the lead word. Today, it is labyrinth.
Thanks for having the unsafe trip home to Dingle tonight. Next up on the list is Emer. Is Emer here?
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah.
The summer scarf. I left the house decked in my new summer scarf. At the end of the lane, I met a woman dressed in red, standing at the roadside with the clippers in her hands, examining a tangle of brambles. She looked at one bramble with utter contempt and flung it onto the road. When the man who delivers the coal drove over it, she wept. "Why are you crying?" I said. "It's just a bramble, that's all." She glared at me through dull red eyes. "That's not the point," she cried. "That's not the point at all. Oh, why are you people so stupid?" She pointed at the ditch where the dark barbs crept, sending out multiple arms to choke damp tufts of grass, unruly vetch. I left her and didn't turn back until the rain came. On my way home, I met a small black dog, a cat missing its tail, and the woman's two young sons, both long dead. When I stood in to let a car pass, a bramble snagged my scarf. "They called me, you bastard," I growled.
Mila Boykus, Emer, and Hugh Nillenall, Brenda McCarthy.
If I pause, it's because I can't read, my hand breaking. One night after the strike, Hassan sent himself to heaven, shut his supernova eyes and pressed his brow against a prayer-worn rug, shattering into a million liberated moons. Then he ripped the brass strap off the world, let south go north, east, west. Grasping the hot palm of the Pleiades, he stroked the lion's mane and led the seven morning maidens down the spine of stars. But in the boundless sea of night, he grew cold as onion milk. So, rearing of the light that bound the earth, he followed the fateful course of a drone, British prick of composite steel through his hellfire, shooting into the bullseye of the sun, blinding God.
Thanks, Bernadette. Next up is Edward O'Dwyer.
Oh.
This poem is about 7 pages long, so I'm not getting it. it's a visceral enough poem, so you've been warned. But it's about urban violence, I suppose. It's about being a teenager and about friendship as well, though. It's called My Best Friend Sammy. My best friend Sammy is a stubborn bastard about everything. When we were 8, I'll always remember it. He took a shot and it went over the jumper. It was post, nowhere near a goal. "No fucking way," Sammy started screaming. It was in, and crazy eyes on him. When he gets the crazy eyes on him, he isn't messing. He fell out with me over it, took his ball and went home, not a word. Days passed and turned into 2 weeks, and enough was enough. I called over to his house after school and I said, "Okay, Sammy, it was in." That was that. Minutes later, and we were out kicking the ball again, playing a game of pole. Stubborn cunt, I said to Sammy as he was heading in, and he laughed. They beat the absolute shit out of him. The fucking scumbags. Sammy could be his own worst enemy sometimes. That was just a plain fact. I know him. I know he could have stayed down, but wouldn't. They kept putting him down, and he kept getting back to his feet and laughing and calling them pansies, and then daring them to try it again, his big fat eyes bulging out of his head. They took their turns, having their kicks and digs. Then they took one of the eyes out of him. They stabbed him, piercing a lung. They'd have been looking for a fag. That's how it goes. You're probably fucked if you give it, fucked if you don't. They're not asking. It's not about the fag. Gis a fag, ugh, they say. And the best thing you can do is peg it. But Sammy wouldn't ever do that, the stubborn fuck that he is. Gis a fag, ugh! They say, and their hoods up, a scrawny shower, tracksuit bottoms tucked into white socks. Go on, Willa, it's only one fag like. I really need Sammy to wake up. He's my best friend and I need him. The same day it happened, I shifted Jenny. I want to tell Sammy all about it. The fucking magic of it. Her tongue in my mouth, mine in hers, and my hands all over the juicy denim arse of her. Finally, did it. Sammy has been listening to me going on and on about Jenny for must be over 4 years now, never doing nothing about it. Shifted the face off her, but it doesn't feel real now. How can it, if I can't tell my best friend? Jesus Christ, wake up, wake fucking up. Sammy has to be the first to know. I owe him it. You stubborn cunt, Sammy. It was post, Sammy, when we were 8. Post. Now wake up and scream at me. Open up your crazy eye. Tell me it was in.
Ray Hanrin. This is called I Walk. One foot in front of another, I place each in time, left, right, getting out of my house, taking my mood round the city to see if it lightens any. Walking puts me in the moment between steps, between locations where the daily ennui is forgotten about for a while and I lighten up. My mind, not so ponderous and dull, livened by the scenery I pass through and the people I see, simultaneously alone and not alone, I am out walking. I see the clouds over the city and all pretty, not threatening rain. I sweep on through the streets, and once I get home, my mind is refreshed by the simple act of putting one foot in front of another. Thank you.
Simon, are you up, please?
Yeah, cool. This is called reductionism. Huh. A specialist is said to know the most in medicine, and in title becomes a mister, with the doctor plain for GPs. Generalists, concerned in just the whole of patients' lives and the origins of their pain. They say the body is like a finely wrought machine. Things go wrong and sometimes need to be replaced. And so the hips, kidneys, pacemaker and all between can be done to prolong life in spite of age's waste. If my car goes wrong, I need a man who knows it all to keep me on the road and make it function better. He has not learned more about less to call himself Mr. the world's expert on the carburetor. The young still seek the chance to act out dreams, follow paths that grow from searching minds. Let them not specialize on small too soon, for it seems that only that could lead us to embrace more wholesome times. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon. Next up is Patricia Walsh. This book called Game Playing is about friendship won and lost. Game playing. I've only got two hands enough to curl the ball outside the box. Desired information untouched, handled carefully like a virgin firework. I'm a liar for withholding news. Sinking lower than normal for one's own gain. The unmarked garden car would tell my crime. Game playing with evil and mental illness. Severed inseparable. Cutting gordy knots to keep yourself sweet. An unmarked grave of your ambition, not caring who to fuck. Some gaps in your lifetime, toss or shoot. I am more attractive now, telling you my secrets. Enough that Paul met me through a drunken haze. Too tired to push, they sailed off me. Cigarettes as a crutch upright me again. I stay outside, not shivering fine. Not even as the jury would ignore me. Not sorry that a date would unhorse you. It was CBS, communication assault. Thank you.
Bombers pounding the fastnesses of Afghanistan, shock and awe loose from the skies over Iraq. They all seem part of the deadly fallout from the thunder cart of Horace's clear blue afternoon. And he reads, he's done things, quite a lot of bits and pieces to this. Anything can happen. You know how Jupiter will mostly wait for clouds to gather head before he hurls the lightning. Well, just now, he galloped the thunder cart and his horses against a clear blue sky. It shook the earth, and the clogged underneath the River Styx, the winding streams, the Atlantic shore itself. Anything can happen. The tallest things be overturned, those in high places daunted, those overlooked regarded. Stopped beak fortune swoops, making the air gasp, tearing the crest off one, setting it down beating on the next. Ground gives, the heaven's weight lifts up off Atlas like a kettle lid, capsules ship, nothing resettles right. Telluric ash and the fire spore boil away.
Thank you. Next up on the open mic is Mr. Ben Burns.
This is an adventure poem set in Dublin. In Deckwells on George's Street, I traded my body for a bucket of paint because I had no money and paint doesn't want for things or get hungry. They were out of red, so I opted for crimson and rolled out of the shop, avoiding collision with pedestrians and pigeons. I hadn't a notion in my head, because I hadn't a head, and the notions I had were not notions, but crimson, liquid, dead. Well, I rolled to the offie, and the lad at the counter must have felt sorry for a solitary bucket bumping despondently against a crate of Carpaccio and not a penny on him. So he opened a bottle of the finest gin, picked me up gently, cranked off my lid, and poured the spirit in. Oh, sweet goodness, I burst a crimson grin, left the poor lad's face a sunset of sin and sticky. Drunk as a bucket, I leapt from his grasp, like a poisonous frog, legless but no longer aware of it, the rainforest beckoning. As lidless I rolled, my contents spilled out, covering pigeons and pavements and shoes and bins and cars and guards and buildings and bridges with the gloopy primordial liquid. And there seemed no end to my crimson spirit till town was smothered in drunken paint, but nobody noticed it was 3 on a Saturday night.
Thanks, Tom. Next up is Rob. Is it Rob Curlin?
Hi, this is called A Fantastic Woman. She is divine, an immaculately conceived conception, perfection, the manifest spirit of sexual tension. I'm a loon, swooning at the sight of that moon. She's got a body like a Playboy cartoon. Cupid hits me with a harpoon, and a growing part of me craves her like adoration. She is not subject to deterioration, preserved in a perverse verse for ageless ages, pressed like the loveliest dead flower between pages. She doesn't wage war of attrition on excitement and youth. Where's the beauty in an ugly truth? In poems, she's the spirit of beauty and virtue. How could she hurt you? She's not a real person at all. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Next up is Kieran McCarthy.
Hey.
Found this leaf of page inside a sick bag for an air transit flight that I took up a long time ago and I didn't know it still existed, so now that it still exists, it's coming out. Which is a nostalgic theme of childhood and all. This is for Slicer Jack Sprat. And Slicer makes him sound like a thug, but actually we just called him Slicer because he'd shit kick off a football. And just slice the ball. We could all kick a ball. The amateur couldn't kick a ball. Daytime boy. Well, if maybe once you knew him, maybe now that day has passed, and every conversation confirms to you that nothing lasts, you feel funny to see him walking on Young's closed roads as he gives the night a talking in those funny looking clothes. And well, he's burnt all his bridges, made love to all his childhood friends, and you see him walking with his witches, the things he does to make amends. Every word that he speaks sounds like it comes from someone else, until there's 50 different people there describing how he felt. He told them all his story with a mouth to run free. As he speaks of all his glory, he's taken into slavery. Every time you look or talk to him, you sense that he's become uptight. And he's got that way of walking, as though he's looking for a fight. He talked up the future as a boy, a lot of dreams and no plans. Spoke about burning Troy and trips to distant lands. All the things to bring him joy, he held them in his hand. Talked up the future as a boy, glorifies the past as a man. All the women that he loves seem married to the many fights, and all the drugs that he does makes him allergic to the light. Can he not remember when his future seems so bright? That's okay, because your daytime boy is a man tonight, and that's all right. Your daytime boy is a man tonight.
Eugene Onruhr. Onruhr, on Patsane. Three stores she is at the Sarnelli, or Urlord Cement, Sidurka. The Precon Moor, the Bullet Moor, Ekrasted her. Kasuna Shostakovich, school feetle in the morega, Iconis, Kintam Mekje lifted, Lorna Rehe, on Gardekar, on Doctor Russell, on Clown the Kele, she shocked an instig, then she ma, on Colleen the stretcher, on walking wounded, the wasted years. Tomas, Trailuk, Bobby. Diaz Mirilat, Owen Carton. Nicht, Arbeit, Nicht, Kirk, Nirk, Nicht, Liberty, Chine.
But I stick with the kind of vanilla bit of music. So the choice, I must put that up. Do you want me to do a story
either? Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the way, go up from it though.
Okay. Hopefully, the nerve to get forward now. Okay.
Hang on a minute, hang on. I'm not on right. Go on.
This is just a piece I wrote for someone that I'm very close to who's suffering, and I couldn't say the stuff, I just had to listen. But it broke my heart, and I wrote this shortly after, so it's just for ye, not for it. Well, that's our point. There are voices that you hear that are mine. There are places that you visit in dark times. Just celebrate a rare and special mind. For me you resonate, you're shining. Listen for your own voice, it's resonant and true. Don't be dampened out or drowned out by the crowd. We all have our foibles, that's for sure. Despite the cracks and fault lines, we prevail to endure.
I think this takes us long.
There are times when we are smiling in control, but inside an inner troll is on patrol, lashing out a dialogue to demean. Though your face is happy, your heart is slipping through the seams. See the inner beauty that only we perceive. Paint your portrait boldly, reimagined and complete. Listen out for your soul voice, it won't lie. Listen out for your soul voice, it won't lie.
bags. Will you wait with us, Jim? Two people. It's going to be really quick. Second last. Plotamut. Stan.
No pressure then, no.
I'm
not doing anything new at the moment, so I'm kind of regurgitating the old ones. It's kind of cold play track in my head. Let's go back to the start. This is one of the earliest ones I did with the song titles. So this is constructed using Paul Weller's song titles. It's called Blink and You'll Miss It. Above the clouds, dreams of children drift off amongst butterflies. Early morning rain echoes round the sun, and a pink dragonfly, invisible on white walls, is waiting. Around the world, just like yesterday, the news of the world rip up the pages, rip up the pages, wakes up the frightened nation with pity, poor Alfie. A bullet for everyone. Everything has a price. At the foot of the mountains, mermaids crowd out of the sinking. Sea spray steams on golden sands, and heliocentric birds rise and fall above a coconut grove. In the city, heavy souls sitting in limbo return to driving nowhere, things to do, and bitterness rising when arrival time, that promised land, leaves them wishing on a star. Around the lakes, golden leaves are falling from trees that sleep the sleep of the serene. Andromeda touched the start of forever, and leafy mysteries call you to that spiritual feeling. Down in the subway at midnight, a porcelain soul asks a man of great promise, have you made up your mind about my small personal fortune? But porcelain gods, like fortune cookies, don't make promises. So David Watt circles into tomorrow thinking, my whole world is falling down. Now the night is here. One bright, precious star circles the cosmos. He is the keeper of dreams. Illumination, standing out from the universe. This is the truth, he says as you lean into the light. Even in the modern world, when you call me, I want to make it all right.
Thanks. I've only got two short paragraphs, Jules. I won't keep it too long, but like I must warn people of a nervous disposition. You're not going to like this. It's really dark and really heavy, so you know, I'll read the first one and then I'll ask you if you want me to read the second one. Okay, this is the first one. The lads thought it was a great laugh. One of them worked in engineering and had made a fallen chain which they bolted to his leg. He carried it around all that night, his stag, 10 kilos of solid steel. He must have dropped it when he was going to bed because they found him the next day at the bottom of the stairs, neck broken. Afterwards, two of the lads committed suicide and one died in a single vehicle accident. Do you want the next one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The lads thought it was a great laugh. He drank a bottle of whiskey and was unconscious. One of the lads blew up a condom and dribbled in some milk. They gently eased his trousers and pants down and laid him on his side. Using the blunt end of a pencil, they pushed the tee of the condom into his anus, pulled up his clothes and left the tent. On their return 12 hours later, he was gone. Back home, it was never mentioned. He became increasingly withdrawn and then hung himself. Soon after, the lad who'd wielded the pencil hung himself too.
Dear Society, I'm a homo. Homo sapien. I'm attracted to other homos. Homo sapiens. I am a member of the LGBT QRSUVWXYZ community, a group of people in society segregated by sexuality. I am not queer, I am here, and I am me. And if my honesty offends your inability to accept that I am free to love the essence of femininity, then I do not apologize, for beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, and I will hold her. Her curves have been molded to fit the pieces of my life, society, which you have jigsawed apart. We fit together like art, but our love has no exhibition to be stared at. And if you are to say to me, the God made man and woman to make child, well, I respect your right to be so black and white, but I am grey. And I also pray that one day you may awake to see that black and white blends to make me. I'm exhausted, society, from trying to suit you. My spine aches contortionist pains from trying to fit into this closet, from which I emerge terrified and alone, back into my family home, to sit my elders down and reveal to them what felt like bad news. And why should I, society, come crawling to you to accept me, when it is you who should come crawling an apology for building that closet and forcing me in it? In it? Why is it we accept men to hold guns, but not hands? I just had an out-of-body experience there, because I wasn't expecting to do that.